We talked about the betrayal of love earlier this hour, and we're going to broaden it now to look at ideas of morality and art. This relationship has been vital to our understanding of art since the classical world, with Plato the most enthusiastic and influential thinker on the subject. But where are we with these ideas in 2013? To help us unpack what our understanding of the relationship between art and morality is, and perhaps what it should be, I'm joined now by Damien Freeman. Damien is the author of Art's Emotions, Ethics, Expression and Aesthetic Experience, and he currently teaches ethics and aesthetics at Pembroke College in Cambridge. Welcome to Weekend Arts, Damien.
Thanks, Sarah.
So, Damien, I thought we should begin with the fact that while the fig leaf was once used judiciously in art galleries to protect our moral sensibilities, you don't see it so much anymore, but you do see other versions of the fig leaf.
Yes, Sarah, we have the warning signs all around, warning us of what perhaps we shouldn't be looking at or we should be worried about. It's interesting that we used to talk about love as a subject earlier in the program, because at the beginning of that exhibition at the Art Gallery of New South Wales is a warning sign that it contains nudity. Well, of course, there's nudity all around the art gallery, but the warning is because this is explicit, this is depictions of sexual intercourse and this sort of thing. It's a warning about the sensibilities of the audience. We see the same sort of warning in the gallery where you have photographs of Aborigines warning visitors, Aboriginal visitors, that they should be aware of this in case it upsets their sensibilities. But we also see warnings of other sorts. We see warnings not to take photographs, not to touch works of art. Some of these are to protect the works of art. Some of them, however, are concerned with the moral sensibilities of the artists. So this is particularly the case with the burial posts at the Art Gallery.
This is at the Art Gallery of New South Wales, but true of other art galleries around Australia too.
Yes, I mean, I picked that as an example because here you have a work that has a deep religious significance for the artist, the Aboriginal artist from the Melville Island community that created them, and you're not allowed to take photographs, not because the photographs will damage them, they're not light sensitive or anything like that, but because it's a way of showing respect for the sensibilities of the artist. So we see these, we see the fig leaves warning us about the moral sensibilities of the visitors to an art gallery, and we see the fig leaves in the form of warning signs warning us that we also need to be respectful of the moral sensibilities of the artists who create the works of art.
It's interesting, isn't it? Because as you point out, there are still all of these sort of moral ideas and prohibitions in our relationship with art, but we don't talk about it explicitly in the way that we did for centuries. I mean, it seems that the only public language we really have now for the relationship between morality and art is that old debate about censorship. And I know this is something that you've spoken about, and I'm sure people remember a few years ago when the police raided an exhibition of Bill Henson photographs at a Sydney gallery, and people were either furiously pro or against Henson's moody photographs of adolescents and the right to exhibit them. But I'm guessing that you were feeling there were bigger ideas or bigger issues around morality at play in that furor that were lost in all the noise over censorship.
Yes, I think that's right. Everything seemed to be focused on censorship. The question of are these works of art dangerous? And if so, does the state have the right to limit our access to them? But I think you're correct in thinking there were a whole lot of other issues going on. I'd point out here a book that David Marr wrote called The Henson Case, where he goes through the furor that surrounded that raid for 2 weeks when there was a threat that a prosecution would be brought against the artist and the art gallery. And you see everything coming out there, and the sorts of remarks that are coming out are concerned with a whole lot of other issues. The Prime Minister made remarks at the very beginning about the fact that he thought these were awful, and he said, well, aside from that, I don't think they have much artistic value, but even if they do, they're still awful.
This was Prime Minister Kevin Rudd. We have to keep listeners up with which Prime Minister we're talking about in recent Australian political history, but that was Kevin Rudd's response, wasn't it?
Yes, that's Kevin Rudd. So Kevin Rudd, he was aware that this lacked moral value from his point of view, and that there was also a question about its artistic value. And this is a really big question. What's the relationship between moral judgments about art and aesthetic judgments about art? Can something be morally corrupt and yet still be beautiful? It's a really big issue, and his comments that were so central to that debate they should have spoken to this. They should have focused us on the issue. What do we think? Can something still be beautiful and valuable and worthy of being in an art gallery, even if it's morally corrupt?
Well, what do you think, Damien Freeman, Mr. Philosopher? Can we separate these aesthetic, and ethical judgments?
Yes. This is a big question. In the history of this, there have been two big schools of thought, Plato and then Tolstoy in the 19th century. Tolstoy, the novelist, thought that all that mattered in art was whether or not it's morally good, whether it expresses the right moral sentiments. If it does, it's good art. If it doesn't, it's bad art. Famously, Oscar Wilde took the completely opposite view. He says in the introduction to his famous novel, The Picture of Dorian Gray, that a novel is neither moral nor immoral. A novel is only well-written or poorly written. So he was an aesthete. He thought that only beauty mattered when it came to art.
It would seem to be that it's Wilde's view that's won out in our century anyway, that idea of giving moral primacy to evaluating an artwork seems to belong more to the 19th century or even earlier to sort of the classical world. I think it's Wilde's dictum, this idea that there's a separate morality allowed to artwork seems to be the dominant one.
Yes, it is dominant, but we're successors to these two traditions, and the Henson case it showed this. It showed this concern that art should be concerned with morality. It can't just be indifferent to morality. So we do, I think, have two sets of intuitions here that are inconsistent and that don't come out very often in the way that perhaps they should. If we think about a photograph like the Henson one that caused all the trouble, I mean, Henson wasn't trying to upset people. He wasn't trying to disturb morality concerning teenagers and the depiction of naked children or adolescents. He was concerned with exploring subjects around that, and he was interested in the way that we deal with these situations and these moments that are transient and uncertain. And I think it's right that we should remember that art's really important for this. Art helps us to explore things that are uncertain. It is at the edges of our lives. It's often very unclear how we should feel, and his photographs are very good at arousing conflicting feelings in us.
Now, see, it's interesting, Damien Freeman, you've moved from talking about morality to talking about feeling, talking about emotion.
Yes, well, of course, there's a big question, how should we feel? I mean, a lot of this problem is that, you know, there's a way that we think it's right to feel about children. In particular, we feel that it is inappropriate to take a sexual interest in them. So this reminds you that if you're given a photograph that shows you the seductiveness of this body, that shows you how you could possibly feel a certain way, even though you're convinced that that wouldn't be the right way to feel, it's a very powerful experience. It's a very challenging experience, and that's something that art can help us to grapple with.
But also the dangers of art in terms of stirring up emotions that we might not want to have. I mean, this was Plato's big concern, wasn't it, that art would inspire emotions that were going to lead to immoral actions or immoral ideas, and we do still have those concerns, obviously, as the Henson case is just one example of, I think.
Oh, yes. Yes, very much. I mean, you saw that with, you know, the fear that art might arouse inappropriate emotions is very serious, taken very seriously. But you should remember that Plato really didn't understand emotion well. He thought it was like hunger or lust. He thought it was something that was the opposing force of rationality. What we have a much better understanding of since Freud is the sense in which emotion is an attempt to make sense of our experience of life. And when you understand that, you see that it can be educated. You can have a moral, you can have an emotional education, and that is something that it's been thought art can contribute to. Famous philosopher Martha Nussbaum is very keen on this idea that through reading novels, through engaging with pictures, we can refine our emotions. And I think that's something you can get from engaging with the Henson photographs, for instance.
Damien Freeman, I like the idea of the moral value of the novel over this Easter weekend. Thank you for joining me on Weekend Arts.
Thank you very much for having me.
That was Damien Freeman, who is a lawyer and a philosopher, and he's a teacher of ethics and aesthetics at Pembroke College at Cambridge. And he's presenting a series of lectures exploring the different ways in which concerns about morality affect our experience of artworks at the Art Gallery of New South Wales. So if you're in Sydney, there are three of those lectures left. Go along. We'll put a link to them at the Weekend Arts website. And while you're there, you can, of course, also have a look at the We Used to Talk About Love exhibition and see if you can make some connections between the two.